Good morning, Agape. How are you doing this morning? It is a pleasure to be with you and really excited about today and being able to give you guys some words of encouragement that I feel like that God's put on my heart. And so let's start by getting into prayer and then jump right into what I believe God has for us today, all right? Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that you give us to be able to encourage one another with your word, Father God, as the worship has already happened and people have sensed that building up in their spirit as they've worshiped you, Father, and as they've prayed for one another, and as scriptures have already been shared about giving, Father, I just thank you that those scriptures and that time of worship is already an encouragement to us. And we pray right now that as the word comes, Lord, that your words would be spirit and they would be life to us. Lord, that they would spark a fire within our hearts, giving us the thing, that giving us that energy, that enthusiasm that we need to continue to follow after your plans and your purposes, Father God. We thank you for Agape Church in Clear Lake, Iowa, Lord, and for the purposes that you have for them and the goals and the vision that you have for them to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. I've had a few scripture verses rolling around in my heart this morning and really wanna just be able to share with you them and just kind of see where the Lord's going. You know, you guys are in a very unique place. I've been in ministry for over 20 years doing church ministry here in Thailand and also being involved with friends and their church plants and different things back in the States. And you know, as churches go through transitions, as you guys have gone through with transition of leadership, there's just so much that happens during that time. And during that time, it can be challenging, and it can be something that you can get discouraged in doing. And so, as I was thinking about Agape, as I was thinking about the things that you have that are good, and you have a lot of really good things that are going for you. You know, you're coming into this transition season now where you're transitioning with the building and the sale and all that. You guys are in such a good place because you've gone through a lot already. And I want to tell you guys, when I was there this summer, I think I was there in May and in July, the feel that was there was just amazing. You guys, and not to compare, but from a year ago, when the boys and I were there, when you were in the big sanctuary in 2022, it wasn't bad, but this past two trips home, there was just such a love that you guys have for one another that I could sense, and such a bonding and a coming together and a unifying, and it was beautiful. It was wonderful, and I want you to know that it seems like you guys are just, you're on the tail end of all this stuff that you've got, guys have been going through, and so that's awesome. Here's kind of the thing that's been rolling around in my heart and what I believe is the message for you guys. You, as Agape, you have a very specific purpose for what you're doing. You know, I always tell people this, if God made me on purpose, like he determined that he was going to create Bob Scott and Bob, and you know, he's planning, you know, who Bob's going to be. And if he created me on purpose, then maybe one of my most important things that I do, one of the greatest focuses that I have in my life is to be Bob, to be who I was created to be. And I spent many years of my life trying to be somebody else because I thought somebody else was better than me. I thought, you know, I would look outside and I'd see, not outside, like outside the house, but I look outside of myself. I look to other people. I would see what they were doing and I would get jealous and I would think, well, I wish I was doing that, or I wish I was like that, or I wish this, or I wish that, instead of enjoying the fact that God made me unique to me and celebrating that. And God has placed Agape in Clear Lake for a reason, for a purpose. And every one of you that's there at the church is there for a reason and for a purpose. Now the devil's going to come and he's going to tell you that you're not there for a purpose. Some of you that are not volunteering, you're not involved, you're not in the leadership team maybe, you just come to church, you might think, yeah, I'm not important. I'm going to tell you something, you are important. I've pastored enough churches to know that it's a living organism. Agape Church is a living organism and it is made up of all of you. Even some of you who think, well, I just come to church and I just worship. You know, your presence is important and you add to it. You know, there was a church that I pastored about 5 years ago, and if you remove two families from that church, it changed the dynamic of the church. And I'm not saying that the two most givers or the two most involved families, just any two families, and you change that congregation, you change that family, because we all have something. We all say hello, we all talk, we all interact, we all commune together as we worship together. And when you all come together, that creates an amazingly beautiful body of Christ. And the first verse that I want to read you is this. It's in Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David prays, he says this to God. He says, I'm going to praise you. Why? Why is David going to praise God? Because he's saying, he knows that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen, Agape Church is fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not an accident. It didn't get started 30 years ago to not accomplish a purpose. And each year it's accomplishing its purpose, but then there's also purposes that's going to be accomplished 10 years from now and 20 years from now. You, as a church body, are fearfully and wonderfully made as individuals and as a unit, okay? And this is so important for us to understand, because I think sometimes in church world and in church life, we get very either inward focused or outward focused. And I want you guys to understand who you are supposed to be and knowing where you're at. We're in this world, but we're not of this world, right? You need to be in the world and you need to be functioning. You need to know that there's another church down the road and there's another group over there. That's great. It's fine. No big deal. But what I don't want you to do, and maybe you don't do this, maybe I'm totally off, and that's fine too. I'm not perfect. But I know, as being a person in the ministry, it's really easy to look outward and to compare. As a church member, you know, I've been in some churches and it's unfortunate, but churches and church members can be arrogant. Nobody there, I know. Just smile and look forward. I can't see you, so I know I'm not talking about you. Just kidding. But we can get arrogant, you know. And I've seen around, I've been around churches enough and church culture where the believers love their church and that's great. But then they begin to think that, well, my church is better than another church, and I don't think that's right. I don't think that's the way that we're supposed to be interacting as the body at large. Okay, Jeremiah. Let's just read Jeremiah chapter 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," and if you have your Bible, you know what, let's just, I'm getting back to where I really like to read off of paper on my own Bible. I love apps, but there's something about holding the book and turning it, the noise and the sound and everything that makes, anyways, I'm gonna read from my Bible. You can do what you wanna do. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Listen, the Lord does not think anything evil of the church. He doesn't. Maybe a church needs to be corrected. Maybe a church needs to change direction a little bit. But man, God has plans of peace for your church. Doesn't mean there won't be turmoil. Doesn't mean there won't be storms. It doesn't mean that there won't be challenges. It doesn't mean that there won't be temptations to do whatever is unhealthy as a church, okay? Or as an individual. but his plans are for you to have peace. His plans, it says here, he says that his plans are to give you a future and a hope. And when we know that we have a promising future, that gives us hope. And hope is such a powerful thing. And the things that you're going through now, the trials that you're going through now are only temporary. The financial challenges are only temporary. Church, I'm telling you, you are raising up right now. You can't see it. You can't see the things that are happening in the background. You can't see the, and I don't know, right? I'm not telling you this, like, I'm not in the board meetings. I don't know anything, the details about the church and sale of the property and fine. I don't know anything. But I'm telling you that what I sense in my heart and in my spirit about you guys is that God is preparing these things to launch you or to propel you into the future, into a good place. He knows where you're gonna be in the future, and he's bringing, and you know, you see, you've probably all seen this, but some people stay, some people go, and that's not a bad thing. God's moving pieces around like on a chessboard, strategically placing people where he wants them to be. And I always tell people, if you wanna go to another church, awesome. We bless you. We'll pray for you. Go have an amazing time. If you want to come back and visit, we're gonna hug you. We're gonna welcome you. We're gonna love you because you're our brother or sister, right? But God is placing people in the right body so that he can do what he needs to do. And here's the thing. This is kind of the crux of what I want to say to you guys. Well, I already feel like I've said a lot, but if you look in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, there's seven churches. None of them are the same. And God speaks to each one differently. And so, yes, we are a part of the larger body of Christ, right? All believers are a part of the larger body of Christ. But we're not all the same. I remember when I got out of Bible school, I thought we all ministers were supposed to be the same. I thought we needed to preach the same messages. Of course, I came from you know, the Word of Faith in the 90s, Word of Faith baby. And that was just how I thought everything needed to be the same. And as I've ministered in other churches and planted other churches and lived in different cultures, you know what? No church body is the same. Therefore, there is no point, there is no value in comparing yourself to another church down the road or to another believer or another Christian family in the community. We don't need to be doing that. That's not what God's called us to do. You, as Agape, have a very specific culture. You have a very specific DNA. You have a very specific feel and purpose. You're not called to be like the church down the road. And we should be celebrating that. Not every church is gonna have the same format. Not every church is gonna have the same teaching style. Not every church is gonna have the same, I was gonna say rules and regulations, but I wanna say rules and regulations. There's systems. Maybe systems is a better word. Not every church has the same system set up for water baptism or how you become a member. It's all different. The challenge that's always been for me is to be able to accept that and accept that I'm okay. And I want to tell you guys, you're okay. God doesn't want cookie cutter Christians. He doesn't. He wants everybody. He wants people from all different kinds of backgrounds. He wants all different kinds of perspectives. You look at creation alone, and you can marvel for days on the amazingness of God. There are thousands of species of trees. Just think about that. If we needed trees for fruit and wood, we could probably get by with like 20 different types of trees. I mean, maybe 100. There are thousands. I think it's like 60 or 70,000 different species of trees. And you want to know why they're different? It's because one church, one tree or one church one tree adds something different to the forest, and this tree adds something different, and this tree feeds this animal, but this other tree feeds that animal, and it's designed that way. God has designed churches to be that way. And in a city, I personally believe churches should be celebrating their differences and should be saying, hey, you're not like us, but that's okay, because you know what? Somebody that comes into our church might not receive the same that they're going to receive if they come to your church. It is not a competition, church. Our only competition is with ourselves to be able to push forward to be who we're supposed to be. And that takes boldness. That takes boldness. It takes faith. It takes knowing who you are. And I believe you guys know who you are and are also knowing. You're in the process of kind of discovering and finding that out. And you know, I love to see I'm just so happy for you guys about the building being sold, but also being able to use a portion of it for a year or two or whatever. I don't remember the details. Because here's what's happening. You've got this thing, it's a stressor, right? It causes stress. People are worried about finances. Churches all over the world are worried about finances. It's not an uncommon thing. And God provides a way. And now you don't have to spend your energy on that. You're able to spend your energy on focusing on the purposes and the plans that God has for you. If God were to come to Agape Church, like the angel visited the churches in Revelation, he wouldn't say the same thing to you as he would to somebody else or to another church. This works for us individually with God, and also works with us corporately as the body and as the church. So this is what I want us to do. I think I mentioned this in one of the last couple of months when in my messages. I don't know if it was in person or if it was on video, but I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to say verse 5, but I could be wrong, where it talks about how Paul says that we're to examine ourselves. We're supposed to look at ourselves. We're supposed to say, hey, what's going on here? There's another verse in Galatians chapter 6, and I want to read the whole thing. Galatians chapter 6, verses 4 through 10, and I want us just to listen. Let's see what the Spirit of God is saying to us, to you today. Here it says, and Paul, he says in verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. This is so powerful. God wants us to be rejoicing in who we are. As an individual, God wants you to be rejoicing in who you are, not in who you are not. He doesn't want you to be rejoicing, you know, let's say you're a teacher. You're called to be a teacher. God doesn't want you trying to be a business person. Because if you do that and then you rejoice when you do that, you're rejoicing in doing something and being something that God didn't create you to be. And there's no rejoicing in that. There's no real biblical rejoicing in that. We can only rejoice in being who we are when we are who we were created to be. Who is Agape created to be? Grab that picture. Hold on to it. You know, the Bible says to write the vision down and to make it plain. Who is Agape? There's been change in leadership. There's been change in church members. There's been change. There's been lots of change. Change is not bad. Can be good. It's definitely painful. It's definitely painful. You know, Jesus, what is it, John 15, where Jesus says, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and he prunes the branches. That's painful. But that pruning happens so that that tree, that vine, can produce more fruit. If you are an orange tree, you're going to produce oranges. Don't try to produce mangoes. Don't try to produce apples. That's not who you are. Allow Agape to be who Agape is and be unapologetic about it. Don't be arrogant. Don't look down on other people, but don't apologize. And listen, this has been like a life lesson for me as an individual. Because, I mean, man, it's hard. And we compare ourselves with other people. Paul says, let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. It's not that we're not supposed to rejoice with others. We can and we will. But when I examine myself and my work, number one, I'm the only one in control of my work. My work, like my work on myself as a believer, my spiritual growth. I'm the only one in control of that. There are other factors, there are outside factors, yes, that help or hurt or hinder or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's me. And when I examine my own life and my own work, and I see that I've done something, I've done what God has asked me. I've become more of who God wants me to be, or of what God wants me to be. And I can rejoice in that. But if I compare myself to another brother, you know, I have a friend from Northern Ireland. His name is Nigel. He was here visiting, and he's telling me stories. I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have done that. He told, you know, and then I had to catch myself. No, I don't wish I could have done that. I mean, it would have been nice to experience what he experienced in some of the countries he was in, which are closed nations that are a little bit dangerous to go to. But that's him. When I examine myself and I say, oh, but I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm on track. And once I see that, I can have rejoicing. And then I rejoice with Nigel for what he's doing, because he's examined himself and he's doing what he's supposed to do. And agape, you get to rejoice in yourself because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let's go on here. It says, verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. These middle verses here, I'm just going to let you think about them. I mean, when you look at things in context, you just go, oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Lord, you're amazing. Verse 8, for he who sows to the flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows in the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, when we're comparing ourselves with other people, we're really sowing to the flesh. Because it's all about, well, where do I measure up with other people? That's ego. It's all ego. It's all flesh. Do I measure up to them? Am I as good as them? That's not even in God's wheelhouse, almost, if I can use that word. It's not even God's purview. It's not even in his scope of what he's seeing. When he looks at agape, he's looking at agape individually, and the purpose that agape has for Clear Lake, Iowa, and maybe the regions beyond. When we compare, we get over into that carnal. And here's the thing, when we sow in the carnal, we're going to reap in the carnal. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap. Actually, the Bible says it's going to reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We have everlasting life. We have eternal life. But what happens when we sow to the spiritual things? When we see things, this is how we sow it to spiritual things. We see things how God wants us to see them. We see things in line with the Bible and in line with how the Spirit of God wants us to see them. And we walk in the Spirit. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. But here he's saying, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to competition of other believers, you know, I used to do that. Oh my gosh. There was a missionary couple that I worked with and they got a new car. I was so jealous. I argued with God. I said, Lord, I'm a better missionary than they are. I don't go home to the States as much as they do. I've committed myself more than they have. I've done more than they have. How come you're giving them a new car and I drive this old junky piece of crap? Oh, I hope I can say that. This piece of junk car. That's so into the flesh. And you know what? I never received peace. I always received more anger, more bitterness. Because I sowed to the flesh. I reaped corruption. I reaped things that are going to steal from me, destroy me. When I sowed to the Spirit, in that example, praise God. Thank you, God, for pouring out your blessings on your servant's life. It has nothing to do with me. Except for I make it to be something to do with me. And when we see things the way God sees things, and we see them the Spirit, according to the Spirit, we're sowing in the Spirit, and we're going to reap not just everlasting life that will go to heaven, but we're receiving doses of that life. Jesus said, the words we give to you, they're Spirit and they're life. That life is coming, and it's filling us up, and you can feel it in your flesh. You can feel it in your carnal body. You get energized. You get boosted. You get excited. You get to where you're ready to go. Like, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. We have our own purpose. We have our vision, and we're going to fulfill it for God. And when you sow to the Spirit, you're reaping that, and God just gives more and more, because that's who He is. Next verse. Verse 9, and we'll close with verse 9 and 10. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Church, don't grow weary. You have nothing to, well, I mean, we all have stuff that we can grow weary from, right? Just life, trials, temptations, struggles, challenges, stresses, things that we worry about. Don't grow weary in doing good. Because in due season, and that's the thing about God, is there's seasons. Oh my gosh, I wish I would have known this when I was younger. There are seasons. There are seasons, and the seasons change. They don't always stay the same. The way it is now, it's not going to be that way forever. Allow the season that you're in be that season. Sometimes it's winter. You know, you guys are in Iowa. You know farming. In the winter, it's boring, it's drab, everything's dead, the soil's frozen, you can't plant a seed if you wanted to. It's just a season. I've gone through seasons like that. But then spring comes, and then summer comes, and then harvest time comes. And we will reap in due season. We will get to that season. But don't grow weary in doing good. And as you're doing that, verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of God. Let's just do good to everybody. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I know there's people that don't like me. You know, for whatever reason, you know, not everyone's going to like you. And sometimes you kind of pick up on that. You're like, maybe I just rub that person the wrong way or whatever. You know what? I just love to be super nice to those kinds of people. Now, if you're super nice to someone after church, they're going to think that maybe, you know, you have an issue with them, so maybe don't do that. But, you know, oh, you're just amazing. Oh, your clothes look so nice today. You know, don't do that after church. Everyone's going to know. But the Bible says, do good. Every opportunity you can do good, do good. Love one another. Lift each other up. Build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5. I know I said that was the last verse, but I just looked down here at my notes, and I think this is a good one to close with. 1 Thessalonians 5, I think. Verse 11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And I think this is so true for you guys. You guys are doing it, but I want to encourage you, just keep doing it. You know, keep coming together, keep being a family, keep loving each other, keep building each other up, keep having each other's backs. Man, one thing that I've learned that is so important, and we all need this, is for we need someone who says, I got you. Like, I got you, man. You need something? You just give me a call. I got you. You're not alone. We all need friends like that. Continue to build each other up. Celebrate who you are, because who you are is amazing. And God's going to do something fantastic. And it's above what you could ask or think. It just takes time to get to that season. I love you guys. And I just pray that you guys would continue to see where God is taking you, and that you continue to receive that life that comes from receiving the Spirit, because you've sown to the Spirit. Bless you guys. See you next time.